cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Death. You know who else is still standing? Our friend Amanda Truax. She's the founder of Riverblade Skate School. And guess what? They are going strong in spite of COVID and anything else that has come her way. Amanda, great to chat with you. How have you been?
I've been doing great. We've had a busy summer at the Hastings Civic Arena.
Isn't it crazy? Because before we went on the air, we were just talking about how things have really changed across the board. And in many ways, of course, they have forever. But you were saying to me that skating really is kind of a solitary sport to begin with.
Yeah, definitely. Figure skating is more individual sport, so it's been fairly easy for us to stay socially distanced. Just the coaches are wearing masks now and the skaters are on the ice, you know, exercising and doing their skills socially distanced. So it's been good.
So let's go back to when COVID, you know, was really top of mind with everybody and there was a stay-at-home order. Were you in the middle of skate lessons then, and what happened?
Yeah, definitely. We had 3 weeks left of our session and we had to cancel the last three sessions, and then we all had time off, and I thought, you know, how am I going to stay busy during this time? And I have my website, so I thought I should do something for the greater good of our skating community to reach more people and to reach my students. So I started a creativity challenge for my figure skaters, and it went for about 12 weeks, and it was really popular, and we did different types of classes. At first, it started out really small, and then the ice sports industry got a hold of what we were doing and they started posting it on their Facebook page. And then all of a sudden, next thing I knew, we had people visiting us, you know, online from Australia, Spain, Italy, Brazil, pretty much all over the world were taking our online classes.
That's crazy. And did you have to be a skater to take your classes? Were you on ice or were you doing some of your moves just on the ground?
Yeah, we did dry land. We actually had a class with a spin board, a gal out of Washington State. She's a high-level coach. She works with a lot of levels of skaters, but a lot of elite skaters. And she developed this spin board where you spin on the floor. And so she taught classes on that. We did dry land jump classes. We even did some creativity classes with Disney on Ice and Cirque du Soleil on Ice figure skaters. But it was all off-ice training.
Because all of those have shut down, right? All of the touring skating companies?
Yes, they're all out of work right now. So we gave them some business over COVID.
You know, that must be tough. You were in that world. What do you do? Are they just going to wait it out?
Some of them have started their own online companies where they offer classes like similar to what we did during the quarantine, where especially with Cirque du Soleil, a friend of mine was on that. They're doing clown classes, they're doing balancing classes, stretch classes, acting classes, all online now. So they started their own mini companies out of, you know, being let go from these touring companies.
And the nice part is I would assume you can do that from anywhere and your class participants can live anywhere.
Exactly. That's the beauty of the internet.
Yes, one of the few beauties, I think, right? So
that's the beauty.
That is the beauty. So tell us a little bit about the Civic Arena. Did it completely shut down? I haven't been out there for a while. What's going on, or when did it open again?
We opened in July, and we had figure skating classes out there, private lessons, and then Adam Welch from the Hastings Hockey Group hired some of us to coach edges for their hockey players.
What is that?
So we worked on power skating and edge work, working on their agility, different edges that hockey players don't normally have time to work on. So we developed a lot of these different exercises, and each group got a 30-minute class, and then they left the rink, and the next class came on 15 minutes later. So we were socially distant, and there were cleaning procedures done between each class as well.
Was it the Zamboni?
They had disinfectant. The Zamboni came out a few times. We love the Zamboni, don't we?
We love the Zamboni. We love it. We love it. So when you say edges, exactly what does that mean? Is that the tip of the skate, or I mean the edge of the skate?
Yeah, so that we have two different edges on your blade. There's an outside edge and an inside edge. And during a hockey game, you're using different parts of the blade depending on if you're going forward or backwards. There's some turns you're working on, and it's pretty technical. I try to teach the kids the techniques. It's not just, here, turn backwards. There's actually a specific way to do it where you're bending your knees and ankles and you have to rise to the toe or the heel to turn. And there's some upper body movements that make you more efficient on the ice and make you quicker. So there's a lot to it. So that's what we were trying to teach the boys this summer.
And these are high school boys?
We had different ages, but most of them were probably 12 years old and up.
So you almost have to teach them how to skate again, right?
Definitely. A lot of them didn't have the vocabulary quite down of what some of the basics were, so we reviewed those, and then we just kept layering on more technique and more exercises, because there's definitely a beginner skill and intermediate and advanced way of doing things.
And so as far as the power piece, so are you a stronger skater? Are you a faster skater? What does that mean, please?
Yeah, so you work their quickness, their agility, getting power from their edges, and learning how to get power and speed. And that's our whole goal. But first they have to slow themselves down so they can learn the technique. And then once they have the technique down, they work on it more powerfully, and then they can be faster in their game.
And you've done that before, haven't you? You've worked with hockey players.
Yes. For a year now, I've worked with the same group of kids out of another rink for a year straight, once a week, sometimes twice a week. And you can see the difference in their skills compared to a skater that maybe hasn't taken a class before. Definitely their knowledge of their edges and their efficiency and quickness is much more. And a lot of hockey players are taking these types of classes consistently rather than just in the summer. They're taking them more consistently so they can, you know, maybe get that college opportunity to play hockey, or, you know, go beyond high school. And even in high school, being the best player, all the good players are doing edge class and power skating.
And is that something that figure skaters learn from the get-go?
Yeah, so it was really fun to see. Some of the boys in that particular class, they took Learn to Skate at River Blades for probably 3 years. They went through all of our classes, and I could see the ones who've had the basic skill classes with us. Mm. They were just more efficient. They could pick up the more intricate steps quicker than maybe the ones that had never had a formal class with us.
And how does that manifest itself on the ice? Are they a smoother skater? Are they nicer to look at? You know what I mean? They're gliding more, or what?
Mm-hmm. We teach a lot of ankle, knee, and hip bends in our classes for hockey players. And, you know, staying down in their knees, ankles, and hips when they're skating. The glide, when they push off, the glide gets them further. You know, if they've got their basics down, they can get further out of one push than someone who maybe didn't have a class like that. They'll push and then maybe go a foot, whereas a skater that has a basic understanding of technique, they can go 3 feet as opposed to 1 foot with one push.
So that was a fun thing that you've been working on. What else went on this summer?
Well, we've had some team figure skating classes going on, but because of the COVID keeping social distancing, we've had to change some of our team, because normally we hold on. So we've had to change things up a little bit and recreate some of our competition routines so they're not touching each other during practices. But, you know, it's fine. There's lots of skills that we work on with the kids that we think, oh, we should put that in their routine now that we have to. So it's actually made them stronger skaters this summer by having to be socially distant, especially on team skating classes.
You know, getting back to skating, when you were a kid growing up, I know you had to put just countless hours in as a skater, and it is pretty solitary, isn't it? What's going through your head while you're practicing and practicing and practicing?
Well, the nice thing about figure skating, it, you know, our life is so fast-paced right now that this slows you down, and you have to really focus on what body part you're using to hold a position. And in every single skating skill that we have, whether it's a jump or a spin, you have probably 20 different body positions that you have to memorize and your muscles have to memorize. So in order to get that, you have to slow yourself down and lots of repetitions, nice and easy and slow. And then eventually, you know, you get into those big jumps where you're vaulting yourself into the air and rotating, and it just all comes together. But what I do like about figure skating is it just pulls you back to mind-body connection, and you're not racing through things. You've really got to think and take your time and practice repetition.
How old were you when you started skating?
I was four years old.
And what are your earliest memories?
Well, I remember my dad. He took me to Frog Pond, and we went skating on the pond, and he fell and broke his rib while we were skating. And then we had to hobble back home, and that was my first memory of skating, was with him. My second memory was my parents bought me bladed blades for group lessons, and I could barely move because double blade skates don't move very easily on the ice, especially with some of the skills you have to do. So I stood in the middle of the ice just bawling, and I thought, I can't skate. So then they just got me a new pair of skates, and then I was fine. I was flying across the rink. But, you know, if I would have given up at that point with those double-bladed skates, if I just told my parents, I'm done, I don't want to skate anymore, that I would never have gone this far with my skating or have a school here in Hastings. So what I tell the kids is never give up. You fall down, get back up, and do it again.
Amanda, tell people about your wonderful skating career.
Well, right out of high school, I had big dreams of wanting to skate with Disney, and they weren't hiring at that time, so I decided to go to college. So I went to college, and I still had that want and that need to follow my dream. So my last year in college, I thought, okay, I'm going to take a year and start training again, and then I'll audition. So that's what I did. I auditioned. I landed a job with Disney on Ice and toured for 8 years with the company all over the world. And then I came back to Hastings and opened the school 15 years ago. So this will be our 15th anniversary this year. And that's the rest of history. Here I am.
It's pretty cool, Amanda. That's a great, great story. So as far as looking towards the future, one of my favorite things that you and I always talk about is the skate with Santa. And I would assume, like everything else that's great and fun, that might be not an opportunity this year.
Right. So this year we'll have a holiday recital. Santa decided he can't come down from the North Pole. Just it's too much going on down here that... So we're just going to have a holiday recital where our group lesson skaters will perform in a little show, and some of our higher level skaters will perform as well. That will be December 19th. Starting October 9th and 10th, so we start Fridays, we have a parent-child class out at the Hastings Arena, and then that's on Fridays. On Saturdays, starting October 10th, we'll have a group lesson program, and we're limiting the amount of skaters on the ice, so we're socially distancing and we're wearing our face coverings. Everything's safe. We're going to sanitize, and we'll have our group lesson classes, and that runs through December 19th as well. So we'll have our holiday show on the 19th on the last day of our classes.
What is the age group, please, of who you are giving lessons to?
So on Friday mornings, our class, the parent-child class, will be for ages 3 and up. And then on Saturdays, our classes will be for age 4 and up. And what we're asking on Saturdays, just for the safety of our instructors and other skaters, the skaters that are on the ice, we would like them to be able to already know how to stand up and skate a little bit on their own. So if they don't know how to skate at all, they can join our parent-child class on Fridays. But Saturdays, we'll have our regular classes, learn to skate, hockey power skating, mini-mite hockey classes, and our figure skating jump and spin classes.
And then looking ahead till 2021, what do you see?
We have our 15th anniversary spotlight ice show. So basically what happens is we transform the ice arena into a theater on ice. We have spotlights, we have a curtain, we have a theme that obviously it'll be our celebration theme. And we have rehearsals for that. We only have about 6 rehearsals, and then the kids do the show, and they wear bright, sparkly costumes and get to perform for their grandparents and their families and the community of Hastings at the Hastings Civic Arena.
And that's coming up in February.
Yep, that's in February.
Boy,
so we have a loaded schedule.
You do, Amanda. Isn't it great?
I am so blessed. After being off for quarantine, you're just more thankful and grateful for the time you do have with your skating community. It's just been wonderful this summer.
And so if people want to get a hold of you, how could they do that, please?
We have a website. It's riverbladeskating.com. Yes, otherwise you can give me a call. My phone number is 763-232-5195.
Amanda, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you in all of the great endeavors that you're doing, and you're lifting the youth of Hastings up, and we like that so much. Amanda Truax, she's the founder of Riverblade Skating School, and do visit them online at riverbladeskating.com.
Yes, riverbladeskating.com.
Thank you so much, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor.